Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hello, everyone. Today, I will be going into the six pillars of health. We are going to really be delving into the true fundamentals of health and giving you six questions to ask yourself when it comes to your health. A little side note about me, I definitely get fired up when it comes to health, and sometimes I have to rein it in. It's funny because I made this connection the other day when I was going through a meditation. As I was actually seeing my chakras in my meditation, and you know how we hear a lot about being heart-centered? I finally got it. So with the chakras, there are seven main chakras. The first one being at the root of your tailbone. That's number one. And that's the one that's closest to earth. When I'm too into what's happening on earth, then I can definitely get a little wound up when it comes to health and things that I see in the healthcare industry. I was in the healthcare industry for many years. And so I think it gets me going more than the average person. But then our seventh chakra, which is the one that's closest to the clouds, closest to heaven, is also when you're kind of in la-la land. And so sometimes people will be like, oh, you're up in the clouds. It's time to come back to earth. So this is what I realized. You know how you hear about being heart-centered? And I talk a lot about being more in the middle. That is our middle chakra. That is our fourth chakra out of seven. So if we're too up in the clouds or too into what's going on the earth, then it's time to come back to the heart and get more heart-centered. So today, we're really going to delve into these things that are the fundamentals of health, and we're going to really come from a place of balance. Back around the early 1800s, the world began shifting drastically in our medicine world. And here we are today in our modern world. So although we've come a long way, I think we can all agree that we as a human race have a lot of work to do when it comes to living healthy. Just looking around, right? So I grew up living on Kraft mac and cheese, Dr. Pepper, and Taco Bell. I missed a lot of school as a kid. I had strep throat several times. I would get the flu and other random ailments. I can't count how many antibiotics I was prescribed or consumed in my childhood. I had a ton of anxiety, fear, and I lived in a constant state of chaos. So I've been curious about health. So when I became a teenager, I started to step on that path of discovery and learning, because before that, I was kind of just going along with, you know, my parents and the way that I was taught as far as food and health and all of that, which was what I would say the extreme unhealthy side. But as a teenager, I started getting curious. I started learning and taking my health into my own hands. I started exercising and really learning about health food. My favorite drink ever was Dr. Pepper. And one day, I was probably about 15 years old. I was drinking some and I turned the can around and I actually read the ingredients for the first time. I'd been drinking it for years. And I was so disgusted with what I read that I literally dumped it out, and I have read labels ever since. So since I was 15, so 30 years now, I've been reading labels. I am an avid label reader. And so I really, really recommend to people that these things are so simple, but most people never do these things. First off, like start reading labels. This is not one of the pillars of health, just so you know. But that doesn't mean everything I eat is perfect and everything I put into my body is pure and whole and healthy and high vibration. I'm not saying that, but I have come a long ways when it comes to my decisions of health and what I put into my body. It's been decades since I've taken a prescription. My children have never taken antibiotics. This is when I'm saying my children, I have two sets of children. I have my older children that are in college and my two younger children. With my older kids, I was a completely different mom. I was trying to figure out my own life and I didn't know the things I know now about health. And so I'm not saying that they never had antibiotics when they were younger, but my younger two are now 10 and 11. They've never had an ear infection. They've never had strep throat. Every once in a while, they get a little random something, but they've never had a prescription medication. My son has a severe dairy allergy, so he's definitely had things as far as prescriptions in the hospital when he's had a, you know, a major reaction. But other than that, it's just not a thing for us. So I tell you this so that you can realize that I've been on one side and now I'm on the other. And I have definitely learned some really powerful things that I am so excited to share with you today. The things I'm going to share with you will support you in living a life of vitality, joy, energy, peace, and fulfillment. I had a career in the pharma world for several years, and my eyes were really, really opened. Although I'm not a doctor or a therapist, I do diagnose what is happening in people's lives and how they can improve them on a normal basis. I do this daily. I have a very, very curious mind. That is my job on a daily basis to go, what is going on in your life and where can we go from here? And so I've gotten really good at it over the course of many years. These things that we're going to talk about today are what I use to really help diagnose people's lives. So let's dive in. As we go over these pillars of health, we are going to include physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. All those areas. Because true health is encompassing all of those. I mean, what good is your life if you have a rockin' bod, but you're miserable emotionally or you're spiritually empty? So these pillars will include every area. The first pillar of health that we must start with is your thoughts. Number one. And I'm going to ask you these questions. I want you to write down the pillars of health, and I want you to write down these questions, and I want you to ask yourself these questions. Because anytime something is going on with your life, if you're feeling very sad, if you're feeling anxious, you know, if you've been getting sick or you're feeling off, go back to these pillars and ask yourself these six questions. So number one, thoughts. What are you thinking? What's going on in there, my love? We have to start here always. Our thoughts create emotion, which creates an immune response. It's all connected. Our bodies are so amazing and they're connected to everything and they really, really have a beautiful capacity to heal. Studies show, this is not woo-woo, this is not something I'm making up, this is actually scientifically proven. Studies actually show that negative thoughts decrease the immune system. On the flip side of that, positive thoughts increase the immune system. What we are focused on is the basis of our health. How many times have you gone to your doctor and they have asked you what your dominating thoughts are? When I first meet with clients in my one-on-one coaching, this is the very first assignment I give them. I have them observe their thoughts for the first week. I have them think about their dominating thoughts and write them down for an entire week. It is so eye-opening to people. Every time they will discover that they are thinking things and that what's going on in their loop, de-loop over and over again is showing up. And that is how they are creating in their life. If they want to step out of that loop, we have to figure out what is going on there. That's the first place to always start. Yet it's completely missed in the traditional healthcare system. Do you know anyone who is fit, but they're often sick or sad or anxious? The root cause is always their thoughts. So once my clients observe their thoughts for a week and we have a baseline, then we can formulate their I am list. IMs are the holy grail of our life. Anybody that talks to me or comes to a seminar of mine or any of my teachings, they are going to hear about their I am list very quickly because it is something that I shout from the rooftops is our I am list and how our life is truly made up of our I ams. So if we want to figure out what it is we're thinking or take the wheel of our life, then we've got to go to our I ams. This is where they actually sit down in the driver's seat and they take the wheel of their life. And often this is the very first time they've ever done this. It's so life-changing. And for me, it was the beginning of me finally healing, finally stepping on that path to realizing that I actually have the power within me to become my own healer, to change my own life. And again, it weaves out into all of those areas, the emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical areas of our life. They all go back to our I ams. So with that, if I am saying I'm sad, that is affecting my emotional health. If I'm saying that over and over and over again, if I am saying I am spiritually empty or I'm lost or I don't have a support system, right? Or I'm not supported or I'm sick or I'm not feeling well, then that is what I am literally infusing into my cells of my body. And that is what I am creating. That's the vibration I am creating in my body. One that many people do, especially where I live in Utah, we turn 20 and we start saying, I am old, right? And it's definitely not supporting us to look young, to feel young, to be vibrant. And so it's really important for us to pay attention to that. I mean, how often do you hear women saying, I am young, I am vital, I am beautiful? Instead, it's actually not socially accepted. It's like, well, who does she think she is, right? But it's totally socially accepted to say, I'm old, or, oh my gosh, I'm fat, or I'm unhealthy, or I'm ugly. That's socially acceptable, but supporting ourselves isn't. This is really backwards, and it's really important for us to start there and really take the wheel of our life and start to uncover what it is that we are saying and take the wheel to go somewhere beautiful and really start to claim those things that we really want. So when we learn to manage our emotions, which are connected to our thoughts, because it starts with our thoughts and then it turns into our emotions. And when we learn to manage those, then everything changes. So today, because this one is literally the holy grail, we're going to really spend a lot of time on this one. And then I'm going to give you the other five pillars of our health, but we are going to spend the bulk of the time on this, and then we'll go more into the other ones at a later time. So today, I want you to get out a pen and a paper and create an I am list. Commit or recommit, for those of you that already are doing this, to thinking, saying, writing, reading, shouting your I ams daily to empower your health. Claiming, I am healthy, okay? It's been so funny to me to observe this, and I've observed this for many years, but there have been times where my husband and I have been around people that had like an ailment, okay? And I know how important it is to not start going, oh my gosh, I'm going to get sick, right? And there was one time where we had been around someone, and it's actually a pet peeve of ours that when people would come over, if they would bring their child and say, oh, our kids have been sick or whatever, we'd be like, why would you bring your kids if they were sick, right? But this was a while ago. And I remember there was somebody that we had been around, and he immediately, after they said that they had been feeling sick, he immediately started saying, oh my gosh, I think that they got me sick. And I was there too. I was around them too. And I was like, honey, don't do that. You know, don't worry about it. And as I watched him say, oh my gosh, like I have a sore throat now, I'm feeling sick, I literally watched him get so sick and it didn't touch me. I never, ever got sick. And he got very, very, like, it sent him to bed for a few days. But why could two people be in that same environment and one get sick and one not? And it was merely because I was very aware, because I had studied this for a while, that I was very aware of the fact that you plant that seed and you can run with it or you can shift it. So it's really important to know that if you're around someone, it doesn't mean that we're never ever going to get something, but it is very, very powerful to start infusing yourself with saying, I am healthy, I am vital, I am experiencing a beautiful immune system, I'm in perfect health, right? So think about when you begin feeling crummy, what do you normally do? Normally you say, oh, I'm sick, or you tell other people you're sick, you say, I'm tired, blah, 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 right? Now, sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not feeling well and we just need to go to bed and let it be. But in those moments, I really encourage you to think about what is it that you are saying and turn it around and start to tell your body, I am feeling better and better. I am healthy. I am whole. I am doing great, right? And as you say that, you nourish your body, because your body, it's like you're the magic wand. You get to will your body into cooperating or fighting against you. Let's talk about mental health with this, okay? I've recently been talking to someone who was very, very depressed just a couple short months ago. With that, I had to meet him on that bridge where he was. If I would start telling him, just say you're happy, it's too far, okay? He couldn't go there. Or just say, I love you, you know, just tell yourself you love yourself. He couldn't go there. I would have annoyed him and he wouldn't have wanted to meet with me again. I had to meet him on that bridge where he was. That's the thing when it comes to mental health. When we look at how we traditionally look at health, what do we normally do when someone is struggling with mental health, when they're feeling anxious or they're depressed or they have anxiety? They normally go to the doctor, they get some chemicals to put into their body to forget that they're anxious or to forget that they're depressed. And sometimes people are in a state where they need help. They need something to help them cope. So I'm not saying that medication doesn't ever have its place. I'm not telling people not to take medication, but the most important thing to do is go to the root cause. What is causing you to feel sad? What is causing you to be anxious? And it's always going to come back to your thoughts. So when we started to uncover what was going on with him, it was very apparent what was feeding his depression. And it came down to the root cause was the story he was telling himself, about his role in life as a husband or as a father or as a person. And that is what had to shift. But going from him having an I am severely depressed and I don't want to live to, hey, I am so full of joy. It was way too far. So IMs need to be qualified. So there's three things that I want you to consider when it comes to your IMs. And that is, number one, you want to focus on what it is you want instead of what you don't want. So instead of him saying, I am not depressed anymore, I would have him say, I'm feeling better every day, or I'm allowing myself to heal. I would have him focus on what he wants instead of what he doesn't want. The second thing is you speak in present tense. So instead of him saying, I am one day going to feel better, I am having him saying, I am feeling better right here, right now. So you bring it to present tense. The third thing, which is so important, that is qualifying your I ams. The gap can't be too big. It needs to be exciting, but believable, or better, like higher, but believable. So for him, using this I am as an example, instead of him going from I am severely depressed to I am wonderful and life is rainbows and butterflies, I'm having him scale it and go to something better, but not so far unbelievable to him. So saying, I am feeling better every day. I'm getting better. I am healthy. I am happy. I am reaching for joy, something like that. It's very, very individual. And so there were times where, you know, I would meet back with him and I would say, you know, how are you doing? Or are you saying your I ams? And he'd say, yeah, but they don't make me feel better. Okay, well, then let's go back to that. Let's go back to the drawing board and see what it is that you're saying and how they can better support you, because your I ams are not meant to make you feel worse. They're meant to make you feel better. And you're the only one that is in your body that has your heart and your emotions and your mind that knows how they make you feel. So you've got to be the one to be the master of your own ship, to know what it is that you're saying and how it makes you feel. Okay. This is truly the foundation of our health. You can't build a house until you start with your foundation, and your foundation is your story. It is your I ams. It is your thoughts, which create your emotions. And there are so many amazing studies coming out when it comes to the connection with the emotions and our body. So when you think about the body, it's so beautiful how it's designed, because when something shows up in physical form, it's that emotion raising its hand to say, hello, hello, do you see me here? And so it will start with the emotion. And if it doesn't get your attention enough, it will get louder and louder and louder until it shows up in physical form. And then at that point, you get to go, oh, whoa, okay, I'm paying attention. Or you continue to ignore it and it can turn into something bigger and even more loud, right? So there's studies. Dr. Bradley Nielsen is amazing. He has done a lot of studying when it comes to emotion and how it affects the body. And he wrote the book called The Emotion Code. This is a doctor who, he is a chiropractor, and he started to notice with his clients that they had trapped emotions within their body. Something had happened in their life. It could be even something that happened when they were a baby that they were unaware of, but something happened and that emotion got trapped in the body, and it gets louder and louder until it finally shows up in physical form. For one person, it could show up as back pain. For someone else, it could show up as, you know, an autoimmune disease. And it just depends on the emotion, the trauma attached to it, and how long it's been going on and how loud it's had to get that person's attention. So very, very fascinating. I've also talked to a client who was diagnosed with cancer, and I love talking to her. In fact, one day I'm going to do a deep dive with her and have her on my podcast, because I find her story super fascinating. And when I asked her, you know, what did you do? The very first thing she said is, I decided to live, which tells me she went directly to her thoughts of, where is my mind going to be? Where are my thoughts going to be? Because that is connected to her emotion. In fact, they've also found that usually when someone gets diagnosed with, you know, a detrimental disease, their health starts to decline rapidly once they find out about it. Well, why is that? I believe that it's because now they go, oh, wait, there's something wrong with me. There's something seriously wrong with me, or there's, you know, I have this major ailment. So now they start focusing on that, or maybe the fear starts to creep in. And so it does not help support their health and their healing. And so I think that that's why people rapidly start to decline once they find out that they have some detrimental ailment. But it doesn't have to be that way. Just like this beautiful, amazing warrior that I've talked to with, she got that diagnosis of cancer. She said, no, I have a daughter who needs me and I want to be here with her. And I'm going to do everything that I can do. And I'm going to heal. I'm going to decide to live. And she surely did. And she's very beautiful and healthy and living a fabulous life now. And I light up when I hear stories like that, because to me, that is the fundamentals of health. And it's a beautiful example of this first pillar of, what are you thinking? I have this experience that was interesting to me and very funny when it comes to when we talk about, you know, the gap. I was at Pirate's Cove this last year, and it's this place where it's basically a private resort. It has this platform where you jump off and you can jump into the water, right? And I'm a scaredy cat. I'm not a big adventurous person. I like to be on the ground. I like to know what's going on. And so for me, when I feel like I don't have control, it's hard for me. And so everybody was doing this. They were jumping off this platform and it looked fun. And I was like, okay, this would be fun for my kids to see their mom like actually doing something out of my comfort zone. Okay, I'll do it. And it really wasn't that far, you guys. But I finally decided to get up there and do this, okay? But once I got up there, I was like, oh my gosh, this is freaking scary. And I chickened out. I was like standing there for a long time. And my husband, he was down in the pool and he starts trying to coach me from where I was. And he said, honey, just do it. You're fine. I can see where you're at. You're safe. You're fine. And he said, just jump into the water. And I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I was afraid. And there's all kinds of people down in the pool and they're like, come on, you're good, you're good. And the kids are like, mom, you can do it. Finally, my husband stood up, got out of the pool, walked up and met me up on the platform. And he stood next to me and he said, honey, I'm right here. I'll jump with you. Grab my hand. You're safe. I won't let anything happen to you. And we jumped in the pool. I think about that when it comes to healing. When I meet with someone and they're in this space of disarray, they're scared. Okay. When I think back to, you know, this amazing, beautiful soul that I am talking about who came to me and I was talking to him over the last couple of months who was severely depressed. If I would have just said, just jump, just do it. You can do it. Come on, move. Then it wouldn't have worked. Okay, so sometimes when we see people in our life that are in a space of depression, of anxiety, of fear, of feeling hopeless when it comes to their health, meeting them on that bridge is really, really important. So sometimes instead of just expecting them to do what they should do, but walking up like my husband, that to me, that is symbolic to him meeting me on that bridge to what I needed at that time. And not expecting me to just do what he could do, which is jump from much higher than where I was at, because there were these different platforms. It really has to come down to us thinking about our emotions, our thoughts, and also supporting others when we see others in their life around us that really need our help. And instead of just saying, hey, well, just think positive. Well, sometimes it's more than that. That they need to qualify those IMs and where do they need to start from? So even though the IMs are so, so powerful, the qualifying them is so, so, so key, because that gap just cannot be so far that they can't even get there. That is really, really key. And that's what I find too with people when they read a book or they, you know, listen to like somebody who's like very positive and go to like these different seminars, and that is, I think, the missing link that a lot of people have is they can't even get to that point because the gap is far too big. Like if you think about getting into health, you know, if you were to go to your trainer and they were like, oh my gosh, okay, work out every day for, you know, a full hour, maybe an hour and a half, do cardio, do weights, eat on point, drink all this water every day, like threw all of that at you at one time, it could make you feel like it just wasn't even possible and you couldn't even get your wind in your cells. And so sometimes it starts with just, hey, let's start with 30 minutes of cardio today, or let's start small and then let's start working our way up. And so when it comes to our thoughts, we have to really, really be aware, what is it that we are saying, thinking, feeling, and believing about our life? Because that is number one, the foundation. Okay, second pillar. I've done a lot of research on all these pillars. So I am going to quickly go over the last five, but we're going to really go much more in detail with these over the next course of a couple weeks. But number two, eating. What are you eating? How many of you have had your doctor ask you this? What are you putting into your body? With nutrition, wow, this one is super tricky because there are so many things that are contradicting. I feel like it can be very confusing. And I've changed over the course of the years, I've changed my way of what I thought was healthy nutrition several times because it can be confusing. It's like eat vegan or it's good to eat a lot of meat or do the keto thing or no gluten, which I know is the keto thing. But there's just so many different ways of thinking when it comes to our nutrition. So we will delve more and more into this. But at the basis of eating, reading ingredients is so important. It's so key. If we're not at least reading the ingredients and eating whole ingredients, then that's the base of our nutrition. When you read ingredients, I love this. I remember one time my son, who's now 21, we were at the grocery store and he was begging me to buy Twinkies. And I said, okay, bud, listen, I don't want to buy those. It's literally like going to hurt me to buy those for you, but I'll make a deal with you. Because he was like, oh my gosh, mom, come on. All the kids eat Twinkies. And back in the day, they did. Like it was a very normal thing, you know, back in the early 2000s for people to buy Twinkies. But he was like looking at me like I was over the top, ridiculous, you know. And I said, I'll make a deal with you. If you can read to me the ingredients, I will buy them for you. And so he was probably about 6, 7 years old at this time. So he's like, oh, I could do that. Turns the box and starts to read them. And he couldn't do it, you guys. He could not read the ingredients. I mean, I guess maybe that's not so fair because I knew he wouldn't be able to read them and that I would win and I didn't have to buy them. But it was such a simple thing because, wow, read the ingredients. And if you can't read them, if you can't pronounce them and you can't actually say them, put the box down, put the can down immediately. Do not buy it. That's a very, very simple way of thinking, but it is true. Here's another little FYI about me that I have been an avid, like I love to research the food industry. And I used to actually own a healthy food business. It was called Skinny Box. And I had clients that would come. I love to cook. I love to bake. I love to read ingredients. I love to research the food industry. And with this business, I would create boxes of healthy food that people could come and pick up at the beginning of the week. And I would prepare their food for them with my clients. And so this is something that I have spent many, many hours looking into the food industry. This is another one that can get me real quick, you know, down into my first chakra where I'm banging the table and I'm mad about what's going on the earth. But then I come back up to my heart. The food industry is their major homies with the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry. Like, they're all intertwined. So it is very, very important for us to pay attention to what is in our food. And even more importantly, what our kids are eating. Unfortunately, they put so many things even worse in kids' food, because the way that the marketing is set up is they know that, like, my son, who was 6 years old, was going to be begging me, and most parents cave or they don't pay attention. They don't know what's in their kids' food. And one thing that is in a lot of children's food is food dye. And food dye has been linked to a lot of neurological stuff, attention deficit disorders, or a lot of hyperactivity. Food dye has a major link to that. And so why do they use so much food dye in kids' food? Because it's colorful. It catches their eye. The kid's like, ooh, I want that, right? You know, having a son who is severely allergic to dairy, when you try to buy sweets for a kid or a treat for a kid that can't have dairy, chocolate's out, right? So what's usually left is candy, and all the candy has these major food dyes. So for Easter, I was so excited because I was able to actually get some fruit snacks that I put in the Easter egg hunts that were organic and they were naturally dyed. So they didn't have food dye in them. They were naturally dyed from actual food. That's how things used to be. They wouldn't have even dreamed of putting food dye into food because it wouldn't have been considered even edible back in the day. But now we've found so many things into our food system that really isn't food. It's not even considered edible, yet we're eating it and our kids are eating it. So it's really important to pay attention to these things. But even just reading those labels, you will see that there's food dye in chips and cereal. There are healthy alternatives. So even with fruit snacks, you know, you can find things that do not have food dye. If something says organic, it most likely, I've never seen it have food dye in it. So FYI, just simply reading ingredients, we will definitely hone more in on nutrition. Even though we are going to be spending 3 weeks on health, we're going to barely be scratching the surface because there's just so much. There's so many layers, but we are going to get to so much. Pillar number 3, drinking. What are you drinking? This one is also major. We've got a lot of things in our water that a lot of people are not aware of, that it's so important to be drinking pure water. It is life-changing when you start to be aware of how hydrated you are. Our body is about 70% water. And so if we're not drinking enough clean, clear water, then it is going to affect our health. It'll affect our emotions. It'll affect us being able to mentally think clearly. It's just really, really, really important to drink clear and clean water. So we're going to be talking about, when I go deeper into what it is we're drinking, I'm going to really do an overhaul on how to find the different filter systems that are really good and what it is to look out for, the things that are in our water. One of the major things that's in our water, and they actually add it to our water, that is very, very detrimental to our health, and that is fluoride. Why do they add fluoride to our water? They say it's because it's good for our teeth. Yeah, there's so many studies on fluoride and it is not good for us. So that's a big one. So we're going to be talking about that. Another one that you know, our society really, really consumes a lot of is alcohol. And so we're going to really be talking about alcohol as well. This is one that I've been paying a lot of attention to in my own life, as far as how is that wine really affecting my body, right? And so that's one thing that we're going to be delving into as well, is all of the different beverages and all of the different things in whatever it is we're drinking. That's another one that has a lot of food dye. Gatorade, any pop, any Kool-Aids, anything like that. Okay, the fourth pillar, sleeping. How are you sleeping? Does your doctor ever ask you this? What are you thinking? What are you eating? What are you drinking? How are you sleeping? Super simple, right? There are key things that we can do to improve our sleep. And this is another one that's been super fascinating to me. I had a case study with my niece. She was really struggling with her sleep. She started having a lot of insomnia as a small child. And she would come to me and tell me about her sleep issues. And this is way before I ever started coaching, but I was really fascinated with what was going on with her. And I wanted to help her because she was miserable. She would literally like stay up all night long. And then she would be expected to go to school in the morning, and she was exhausted. And so I really started to pay attention to what was going on with her and trying to get answers for her to help her. What it came down to were these key things that it goes back to the first pillar of health, which is what are you thinking? And so there's some really important things that we can do to help you get more quality sleep. So it all is intertwined, but if we're not getting quality sleep, then our quality of life is not good. And it's also going to affect our mental state and our emotional state. The thing is with people is that I find is these simple things that we're going to go over in the sleeping segment will completely radically change your sleep. Several people that I've talked to that have had sleep issues for years, their sleep starts to improve and those problems dissipate. It's crazy, magical, and beautiful. It's exciting and it's super simple. Number five pillar of health, earthing. How much time are you spending in nature? You ever get asked that when it comes to your health? So important. Yesterday, I was listening to a podcast and I about jumped for joy when I heard this doctor say this, because to me, it was so in line with what I've discovered in my own research and my own experience. It was a whole health podcast. And at the end, the host, she always asks every doctor that she is interviewing, she always says, what's the one thing that you would recommend to help somebody with their health? The reason I listen to this podcast is it isn't your traditional medical doctors. These are medical doctors, but they, to me, are more enlightened and they're thinking about it on a bigger scope because they're going to give answers that not your mainstream doctor will give. So the one thing that his piece of advice was to kick off your shoes, put your feet in the earth, and get connected to nature. It was so beautiful. I wanted to reach through and kiss him. I was like, hallelujah. I love it. So true. Number six pillar of health. Can you guess? Exercise. How often are you moving your body? The more we move our body, the more we want to move our body. Isn't that interesting? The more we are sedentary, the more tired we are, the more we want to be sedentary. I was able to observe my mom and really see things within her when her health was failing and going downhill. And I remember saying to her, hey, mom, when was the last time? Because she was so tired. She was very, very tired. And I'd said, when was the last time you went outside and went for a walk? And she said, well, I'm just so tired. And I said, I know, mom, but you would get more energy if you went outside and moved your body. Because it also increases our immune system as well when we move our body. Those are the six pillars of health. Thank you for coming here and being with us today. Bye for now.
Do you have a coach, I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.